Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And g'day from JT. Once more, welcome to Talking Trots on this Saturday. Good card of racing coming up out at headquarters featuring the Italian Cup, amongst other things. So welcome in the good form team of Jason Bonington and Blake Redden. G'day, lads.
Hello, JT. Wonderful to be here. Great to be going through another terrific program at Tabcorp Park Melton tonight. Back to the Saturday meeting. Baker, what are you most excited about?
What a time to be alive, Jace. Look, this is probably a little bit of a faux pas, but I'm probably a little bit excited about race 2 at Moonee Valley today.
Oh, are you really? And why would that be, Baker?
I just got a small share in the favourite, so we'll see how we go.
Is it favourite? If not now, when? If yep, not she... now, when? It's right now, that kind of thing. Yeah. Well,
deserved favourite, too. Thank you.
Well, the On the Punt boys are already listening in on that, so Blake, you might get a phone call in about 40 minutes to expand, but good luck at the Valley today.
Thanks,
for the gallops, the week that was. Hector and Lenny, tell us about the story of the two champs.
Look, it was a differing fortunes for the two big boys from the team. Aiken, Hector JJ, of course, it was so easy what he did on Friday night at Tabcorp Park Mountain, going back to last weekend, just found the front so comfortably. Slow first quarter, 29.5. He was never going to get beaten from there, but the way he was able to rattle off a sub-53-mile Baker and get home in such slick numbers, he's on track for both tonight at Tabcorp Park Melton, of course, that Len Smith Mile Group 1 race on June 25 at Sydney Harness headquarters. And Lenny, look, he has to be forgiven, you'd suggest. The puppet there in the Golden Mile last weekend, he just wanted to protect Lenny. He probably wasn't 100% fit. It's always a little bit harder as they get a touch older, Baker. And he didn't produce his best, but you don't ride off champions on the basis of one run, particularly not one that's achieved what he has.
Oh, correct. I thought there was nothing wrong with his run, as you say, first up from a break. He'll only derive benefit from that. I thought, look, they beat him with speed, which is probably the only way he can beat him, and he'll be better for that run. So nothing wrong with his run. Obviously, Hector was very impressive. It's probably against the grain a little bit, but I don't think we learned anything new about either of them, to be honest. They just returned. They did probably as we expected. I know most people expected Lenny to win, but I'm not too worried about that. I think they're both on target for this Len Smith Mile, and then potentially both the Blacks Are Fake as well in Queensland.
All right, guys, Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin, gee, haven't they had a throttle hold on the two-year-olds this year?
Amazing, really quite astonishingly dominant, Baker, what they've been able to achieve. I'm not quite sure of the numbers. I'm not sure if you've got them in front of you, but the number of individual two-year-old winners they've had has been staggering in one respect, and then you switch it over to how dominant they've been in the big races as well. We know Lumineer won the Australian Pacing Gold Final for the baby boys, but pretty much everything else has been won by Emma Stewart-trained two-year-olds. Poster Boy seems to be the benchmark at the moment. We spoke to Emma on gate speed, and she pretty much said as much as that. And also Nostra Beach, I still got the feeling that they feel that she's quite superior to Nostra Villa. They all go around in Vic Bred Super Series each just around the corner. And of course, my favourite series, mate, the Vic Bred Super Series, and Emma Stewart's going to have a very, very strong hand.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's either 17 or 18 individual two-year-old winners.
Wow.
I think it might be 17, but they just continue to roll them out, don't they? They just, time after time, they continue to bring out these horses. We saw Molly Kelly in New South Wales last weekend win a semi-final, the Breeders' Challenge, and from there it just continued to roll. Tam Major broke a Hamilton track record. Tap the Keg won again. They've had a very big week, and no doubt it's set to continue, as you say, over the next couple of months, because they've got a lot of the big guns when they come into these big series.
I'll tell you what, it's a credit to the people who are breaking the horses in for them as well, because to have them ready to roll, I know these horses, a number of the two-year-olds have started a touch later than they would have liked because they came back, I think, potentially with a virus and it spread through the stable, but to have the horses so ready to roll as two-year-olds is quite astonishing. I think maybe Amy Tubbs does some work for them, Jason and Sonia Tyak potentially do as well, but to have so many quality two-year-olds ready to roll, JT, extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, and it doesn't come by chance. A lot of hard work and a lot of good selection of the youngsters out of the sale ring. Now, some interesting news I saw on the website earlier today. Change of tactics. There's been a change of policy announced by HRV.
You can probably elaborate on this one, Baker. I saw the video was up earlier today, or yesterday it might have been, that it came up on the website and on Twitter. It seems to me largely a change in semantics rather than wholesale changes or throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. It's a national rule, so Victoria probably couldn't stand alone, even though I believe in that vote in the national meeting of the stewards that Victoria were probably looking at abolishing it completely, but there have been some changes. Can you go through them with us?
Yeah, so basically there will be only four options for change of tactics going forward. They will be further forward at the start, further back at the start, and then the other two are after the start. So midway through the race, you'll have more aggressively after the start and less aggressively after the start. So basically, it's trying to take out that conjecture, I guess, around leading and handing up and sort of maybe even put it a little bit more into the steward's hands where they will have that ability to be autonomous and to be able to make decisions based on how they think a driver is given the best the horse the best chance or not. So there will only be four options going forward. It'll be a relatively similar rule to how it is now. You'll have to announce or at least put in your change of tactics at least 1 hour prior to the first race, and they'll all be announced, as you say, via Twitter and on the website and co. So it's only a minor tweak, I guess you'd have to say, but it just takes out a little bit of that sort of grey area, I guess.
Just quickly, my least favourite part of the rules is always defined by what the horse did at its most previous run and its most previous run at alone. Is there anything in the new rule about a broader pattern of its last 10, 15 starts?
I believe that. That's always been the rule to my knowledge. It is sort of a broad look at its last 10 starts is generally the way that it's worked upon from what I understand of it.
All right, more news on the website for that, and we'll look out for the social media posts of any of those changes on race day / race night. Finally, San Carlo heading to the Sunshine State for riches.
Oh, well, look, we cross our fingers, Baker, don't we? I saw an article from Chris Barsby during the week suggesting that it is on the cards. I spoke to Rebecca Bartley, the driver and co-trainer of San Carlo, before his most recent win last weekend, and look, it's on the cards. The Leo Cremieri is the next step at Maryborough. We cross our fingers that he does go up and it adds something to the Queensland Carnival. I'd still say personally it's probably only a 20 to 30% chance, but we hold out hope, and if he does smash them in the Leo Cremieri, maybe they will roll the dice.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I'm 50-50 on it, to be honest. We spoke a little bit on Gatesbet about this, and I'd love to see him go there for the excitement and the X factor that brings. I don't think he can beat a Lenny the Shark or a Hector JJ or the absolute cream of the crop right now, and it sort of gives him the option if he stays in Victoria to clean up two or three free-for-alls, win his Metropolitan Maiden and go through the grades quickly to sort of be ready maybe by Victoria or Hunter Cup time. If he can get to that level. So there are pros and cons to both. I won't be devastated if he doesn't go. I think the key is that we are going to start to see him in better races. That's definitely on the radar, the Leo Cremieri you mentioned, and then I suppose it's up in the air a little bit. So even if we don't get to see him in Queensland, I think the most exciting part is that we will start to see him test himself against some better horses.
Talking Trot's Run of the Week. All right, 3-2-1 Brownlow votes. Throw it over to you guys. We'll start with number one.
I'll go one because, look, this is a noteworthy win, I think, in a horse that's going places, Dancing with Elvis. His win during the week, he had to do some work early. He ended up in the 1-by-1 after Van Mara came around and gave him some cover, but he was still lifting on the line. He was heavily backed, and it was a big win at Melton on Wednesday. So I think just that early work that he had to do and then ending up in the 1-1, it was actually still quite a good win. So while it wasn't the absolute run of the week necessarily, I think it was a good run, Dancing with Elvis, and a horse to follow. Bond, can you give us 2 points?
Yeah, interesting note with Dancing with Elvis for tonight, and we'll speak about this a little bit later, that Spirit Rider and Dancing with Elvis were in the same team. Spirit Rider was beating him by 20 metres at home in track work, so that's a big tick for Spirit Rider heading towards the four-year-old Vic Bred Super Series. Last Saturday night at Bendigo, enrolled. We spoke about this race. Terrific contest. My Sky Pocket was in the race. Big Jack Hammer didn't really take a meaningful part. But enrolled, he's just such a good, tough trotter. And the fact that he's stepping up and up every time he goes around, they've always had a big opinion of the horse. He may, like most pacing bred trotters for some reason, lack that extreme high speed. But, gee, he can keep rolling through some pretty slick sectionals. So the future is very bright for enrolled. The drum roll, please, 3 votes goes to...
Well, there couldn't be any other horse, could there? Act of Valor for Larry Eastman. That was stunning what he produced on the week, or during the week at Wednesday at Melton. Just kept on charging the whole way, ran time for a restricted racer. We heard Luke Humphreys, the caller, say they don't run these sort of times for restricted races at Melton, but it was a very impressive win. It had 2 starts, not in Victoria. Trialed for Larry, trialed pretty well, hard up on the bit, but to come out and produce what he did, we'll learn a little bit more on Tuesday for the Vic Bred Super Series heats, but I don't know what you thought, Bond. I thought that was a very impressive victory for Act of Valor.
Yeah, very impressive victory. He obviously now has to tackle some really good horses, but he's a runner of the week.
Honourable mention, I was on air on Tuesday afternoon. Yeah. De Strayos, 95th win up at Albion Park. 13 years of age, and gee, I thought it was Groundhog Day. I'm on air, and is he still going around?
We hear a rumour that he's going back to your neck of the woods.
Tassie.
Yes. Back to Tassie. So maybe win number 100 will be done at Hobart or Launceston.
He may have another 6 or so months in Queensland. I think it's all a little bit dependent on property sales and picking up leases.
Got to get that 100 wins. He
Pale
must
face Adios notched up the century.
Yeah.
There's not a horse in Tasmania that could bloody compete with him, is there?
I reckon there might be a couple.
I think Australia's the way he's going in Queensland, he'd clean up everything they put him in Tassie.
Good luck. Good luck to Connections. Must be a great thrill. Driver of the week, gentlemen?
None other than Gavin Lang is there at... He's had a very, very good week, I think highlighted by one particular drive, which everyone will know about, Black and Brown, to pick the gap with that horse and get home at 15-1 was a ridiculous drive in the first leg of the quarter at Kilmore during the week. But it wasn't just Black and Brown. He had Heaven's Trend up at Menangle last weekend, and then Solid as a Rock was a good winner at Cranbourne. He picked up a double at Kilmore with I'm Very Willing, and then nice debut winner at Melton on the Wednesday roll with Rocky and Pizza Queen to sort of round things out. So it's been a very big 7 days for Gav Jace, but particularly that drive on Black and Brown.
Yeah, it was one of those races. It was a classic Iceman race, wasn't it, where you were looking at five or six horses saying which one of these can win, and then out of nowhere, splitting the gaps, dictating terms, was the Iceman coming through the middle, and I was pretty happy with the two. Had it in the quaddie, Black and Brown, so thank you, Gav.
What's happening around the stables?
Welcome back to Talking Trots, and it's time now to find a little bit more out about this weekend before we get stuck into the form, and the man who's joined us for the last few weeks, and I think we can call him a permanent staple of the program now, Michael Howard, pleasure to have you with us again.
Thanks, Blake, just giving me goosebumps there, all friendly on a Saturday morning.
Yes, it's good to be up this early. Now, let's talk this weekend, a man who's got a handful of very good trotters, and Vincenzo, I suppose, the headline horse this weekend for Anton Galeno.
Yeah, plenty go around last night, just the one tonight, and not a huge amount really probably to tell about Vincenzo, of course, but it's just coming back from Sydney, travelled back really well. Anton's been really happy with its form the last couple of starts. He said the draw did no favours, but should be competitive tonight. But what I really did enjoy out of the chat I have with Anton is that just a look at these trotters, the free-for-allers, and that it's really pretty even bunch right now, which is how he sees it. So it makes for really good racing, and we're seeing full fields every week. It just doesn't seem to be that dominant horse, so everyone's getting a bit of a piece of the action and making some money. And one of the, I guess, more important things is not just sort of a flat field. He said they're running really good times. It's sort of hard-fought and quite quick. So just great to see that trotting gate going so well at present, which is also a bit of a credit to the likes of Matt Craven. Brent Lilly's coming back into form, but, of course, Kate and Andy Gass, and Andy probably tonight will break through that $1 million mark for the first time since about 2004, I think. So it could well be Katie Muscles that does the job for him.
A lot of people have worked very, very hard over a period of time to make sure the Square Gator Evolution has gone the way it has in Victoria, and congratulations to all of them, the three-year-old brigade this year. Proof in the pudding about how quickly they are evolving. We move on to Josh Aiken. I hear you had a little bit of a chat with him, Mick, and of course, he'd get nervous, a little bit nervous, I think, every time he jumps on Hector JJ. There's always such expectation until, of course, maybe he gets that big Grand Slam major that I think most believe he will get next season. But he goes around at Tabcorp Park Menangle tonight in his last lead-up race for that Lensmith Mile.
Yeah, it couldn't have been much more impressive last Friday night at Melton. So from Josh's words, and I think this was spot on, was he just did it effortlessly. As far as that gate speed where we saw him just come from seven and outside some pretty quick beginners, that's really Hector JJ as much as it is Josh. He says he doesn't really have to pick him up at all. He says he pretty much does it on his own. And one of the great things there is he's so tractable that he just switches off. If he wanted to run a second quarter of 35 seconds, he then could, which is such a great feat in a horse like that. From that first run, he's pulled up super, Josh said. They are running it 3 weeks in a row, which is interesting. I did put that to Josh, but he said they are all eight-day backups. And so it's Friday into Saturday, and then, of course, Lensmith Mile on the Sunday. And he says that extra day, that can just be so important in giving them that little break. As far as how he goes tonight at Tabcorp Park Menangle, he's drawn the back row. Josh, as you said, the second on the back row is one of his favourite draws. It'll just give him a chance to sort of sit there, wait, let him decide really on how the race goes as to when he puts Hector into it, whether he goes early or late. Perhaps it'll be one last run, but he says it should just tighten him up perfectly for the Lensmith Mile.
Bacon, before you get to Mick about the Vic Bread series, it actually is a good segue. Do you remember the time that Hector JJ, back when he was trained by Simone Walker, led from the second row wide on the second row? And this is a real thing, punters. horses, some horses are brilliant second row beginners, and Hector JJ smoking up was one of the best I've ever seen. Hector JJ wouldn't be too far off it, so second row draw won't hurt him at all, Bakes.
He was 30-1 that night, and he led, and as you say, he won that semi-final of the Vic Bred Super Series. So terrific segue into this year, Mick. The heats, they start on Tuesday night at Bendigo, and I've just gone through the races yesterday. There's some terrific heats, some really nice horses. We're going to have probably a number of odds-on favourites, but I don't think they're all over the line jobs. It looks like a really good quality group this year.
Yeah, 8 heats in total, 4 fillies, 4 Celts and geldings, and of course, probably a chance for Emma Stewart Stable to again flex her muscles. I mean, so good in the 2-year-olds to date. She's got 7 runners in the boys, 5 in the girls, so it'll be interesting to see whether or not that domination continues. I'm sure it will on a couple of counts, but it'd be nice to see if it sort of is a bit more competitive in others. But I also had a chat with Nick Stanley, of course, speaking of Vic Bred, because Spectacular went around in the C2 on Thursday just to see how she recovered from that run. She had to do plenty because, of course, the Lee Stable had both Chilby, Chevy, the gelding, and Kiang Secret, the filly, also 3-year-olds competing in that C2, and they took the front, and Nick was quite wary of that they could just dictate from there. So he had to put Spectacular in perhaps a little bit earlier than he may have wanted to, given the modest racing she's had. Therefore, she had to do plenty of work, but she was still too good, put a bit of separation on the turn, and he was able to turn her off for the last 50 metres. He said she blew a bit after the race, which will only fine-tune her all the more for Vic Bred, and of course, Vic Bred leading up to the Super Finals nights, July 7 and July 8 for the 12 Group 1s.
Beautiful, Mick. Thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the weekend.
Fantastic. See you tonight at Melton.
It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. The Weekend Review, The Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And welcome back to the program. It is preview time. Let's get cracking on tonight's card at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Good to see another early start. Bonners first goes at 5 bells for the MOs. No scratchings at this stage.
10, 8, 1 and 7, my numbers in the first, JT. I'm going with Supersonic Miss. I thought she was more than good enough first up off a 15-month break last weekend at Tabcorp Park when only beaten by the multiple Group 1 winner Rock and Roll Magic. Second line draw over 1,720 metres. They're obvious obstacles, so we don't want to take a ridiculous price, but I think around $1.80 is spot on the money for Supersonic Miss. Clear on top selection. Here are the dangers if there are any. 8 Salik was racing in terrific form. Could not be racing better, but draws awkwardly inside the second row. Glenferrie Blade also draws awkwardly despite the pole marking draw because of her lack of gate speed. She's racing really well, but she will need to be probably no worse than behind the leader if she has designs on winning this race. And number 7, Beau Reeve, she will definitely be winning her Metropolitan Maiden at some stage. I've got a big opinion of her, very progressive horse, but I think drawn widely on the front line here with Supersonic Miss among her rivals tonight might not be the night. 10, 8, 1 and 7 in the first.
Second event for the Trotters, T4 or better?
Yeah, tricky race here. 11, 4, 9 and 12 are my numbers. I'm deferring to the last start, Group 1 winner, Sparkling Success. Definitely the best horse in the race, but first up from a break. This is really the first proper break he's had in his entire career, so how he'll come back from it, there's a little question mark there. Watch markets, but I'm happy to say that number 11's the one to beat. The best betting proposition in the race, I think, is number 4, Scratch It. Very quick beginner, should find the front comfortably soon after the start, and from there, I don't see too many horses willing to apply the requisite pressure to get him out of his comfort zone. So if he gets to just stack them and rack them and sprint them up a half, he'll be very hard to run down, Scratch It. Outside of him, Jimbo Johnson's clearly come back to racing in terrific form and can't be left out of early quarters. Same can be said for number 12, Son of Sunoco, one of my favourites over the years, who's also come back to racing in good order. 11, 4, 9 and 12, race 2.
Third race, couple of early scratchings here, Bonners. Numbers 6, 8 and 10 are out.
Yeah, I think the market's going to suggest there's not a hell of a lot between, 4 and 11 here, Jillaby Kung Fu and Sha Tin. When I say that, I think Jillaby Kung Fu's likely to start $1.40. I think he should be $1.20. This is one of those rare cases where $1.40 is overs. If you reverse the draws between the two big guns and Sha Tin was drawn off the front row and Jillaby Kung Fu wide on the second line, you'd have a race on your hands. The way it's panned out, Jillaby Kung Fu will find the front soon after the start, dictate terms, and the way he's come back to racing, he will just be winning here. Sha Tin is clearly the second best horse in the race, maybe as good as Jillaby Kung Fu, but widely drawn on the second line. She might have to bring herself into the race, which could mean she misses second billing here, but clearly she's the second ranker in terms of the tips. Outside of them, Ideal Lifestyle should lead and then trail behind Jillaby Kung Fu, giving it every conceivable opportunity of finishing on the dais. And Four Stars Fours are now girl Billy Lee are both ticking along nicely, but can't possibly win the race. 4, 11, 3 and 7 in race 3. Baker, your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's a good trifecta race. 4 to win, Jillaby Kung Fu, 11 Sha Tin for second. And I'd just play number 7 and 9 for third, our good Billy Lee, and dominate the dojo and try and get a nice result out of the trifecta there.
Fourth event, lads, kicks or wraps up the early quaddy. One scratching here, number 10.
Don't want to be involved here too much. I think Jerry's Jet, if you're getting a good market push here, because two starts back, he was very good behind Solar Sonic. Then last time out, he never got one look in and was well supported, was about $4.50, but never got a look at them. His form back in Tasmania before he emigrated to Victoria was excellent. So if he's gone back to that kind of form, he should be winning. So just watch the market. There is my on-top selection. The dangers include 8 Phil Monty, who thrives on peg line trips and might even end up behind the leader of Party Boy. Can hold the top here. Riverboat Jasper's an interesting runner. We've got a good record over there in Tasmania, and did beat Mr. Lennox recently, so the form line stacks up pretty well for a race of this nature. Lovin' a Chevy needs to lead to be competitive. That's the only little proviso, whether you throw him in your early quaddies. 4, 8, 11 and 5 in the fourth.
First leg of the Quaddy Bonners is an M1 M2 over 17.20. No scratchings at this stage.
I'm declaring three ways here, Baker. I'm not sure what your thoughts are. My numbers are 10, 8, 9 and 11. I just think he'll be too good for them. He defeated Major Crocker in a trial during the week at this very course. Second to Lazarus in a Victoria Derby final. He's a class commodity. I think he's got huge upside about him. Only realistic danger for mine is if Crockett's Cullen holds the lead from the pole marking draw and Better Down Under gets taken into the lane and gets to have one last sprint through the inside. She's the only one I think can possibly beat him if you want to be conservative with your major quaddies. Outside of them, Yerrington Bob never runs a bad race at this level these days, and Solar Sonic got that cheap kill that he needed last time out that might bring him on for a better performance than he was showing prior to that effort. 10, 8, 9 and 11 for me.
What price are you going to give me, Crockett's Cullen?
34.
Yeah, I'll have a place bet on Crockett's Cullen. Thank you.
I didn't
you
give you a
much.
Place price, unfortunately, but there you
board
go.
Board not set.
$1.30 a place.
Didn't ask what play. Right, we move on.
All right, feature event is, or one of the features tonight, the Wagon Apollo Trot Free For All. Fixed odds with Tab here. Maori's Favourite Son, 380. Vincennes, 460. Conan Bridge, 550. Our Dream A Lot, 550. KD Muscles, same quote.
Baker, I think we're on the same page here. 440 into 380. Maori's Favourite Son went 157.9. Back-to-back races, 3 and 4. Starts back, was very good over a trip that doesn't suit him last time out. I think he pulls his way to the front here, and whatever beats him wins. That old racing credo. I think he's on top. Conan Bridge should be the one right in behind, so we'll get every opportunity to dive bomb Maury's Favourite Son, or at least finish second. KD Muscles is a quality commodity who you would never leave out of calculations in a race of this nature, and I refuse to completely turn my back on Illawong Armstrong, even though he's broken my heart more times than any girl I have ever been involved with. 5, 2, 7 and 3, mate, your numbers?
Yeah, it's scary. It's a dark, dark time when we agree wholeheartedly, so no, I'd agree. I think Mary's Favourite Son will lead. Conan Bridge will trail and they'll run the exacta.
Illawong Armstrong, $16. One scratching in this race. It's not dark yet. On to race number 7. Couple of scratchings here. Bonner's numbers 12 and 13.
Yeah, not going to elaborate too much here. Number 5, Spirit Rider, we mentioned a little earlier. He's headed towards the Vic Bred Super Series for the 4-year-olds. I think he's one of the horses to beat. He was terrific first up from a break last Saturday night. He wins this race. Rap Artist, who's got such a wonderful record out over in South Australia and broke through for his first Victorian win at Cranbourne last start, is the only conceivable danger if Spirit Rider goes well below his best. Outside of them, it gets pretty messy, Baker. You're looking at horses like Animated, Christmas Jolt, Ascot Encounter, who are all in the mix somewhere. 5, 9, 3 and 10.
Italian Cup, the other feature, race 8, 22.40 is the trip. Fixed with Tab. Maximan's the favourite for Gath, 195. It is Billy, 350. Metro Mike is at 350, then Storm for the Boys, 750. And that's where it pretty much ends, according to the Tab.
Fave's too short here at $1.95. Maxi Man, I think it's a three-horse race and there's very little between the Metro Mike, It Is Billy and Maxi Man. They all ran good races behind Hector JJ in that race last Friday night. And look, I think Metro, in fact, I'm sure if Metro Mike wants the front, he will get the front. He's not as effective over middle trips as he is over the sprint short course. But if he gets the lead here and gets a breather, he'll be hard to run down. Maxi Man obviously doesn't know how to run a bad race, but it's never easy in the breeze at this level. And if they carve each other up, Baker, It Is Billy might be Johnny on the spot in the last 200 metres.
Oh, potentially. I just think that Maxi Man's probably better than them. I wouldn't be shocked if he did speed across them at the start. So I know there's plenty underneath him, but he's a quick beginner. So it's a good race. I might have to apologise to you. Did you say Long Armstrong before? Because I said she, but if you said Long Armstrong and not Helios, I sincerely apologise.
No, it's okay. It was Armstrong, unfortunately. She, yeah. He probably hasn't lent himself to too many favours from anyone over the journey anyway.
All right, so those numbers, Bonners in the Italian Cup?
4-7-5-1.
4-7-5-1. Second last, a pace over 22.40.
There's going to be one that I suspect is going to come up very short here, and this is the take on of the night in He's Okie Dokie. I've only ranked it my third pick. I've gone Beach Boy Adios, who loves the claiming grade of race, even though this is a pretty high-quality claimer in terms of the top end. I think he can cruise forward and in this class, park out and probably still beat them. I think the best betting proposition in the race will be number 5, Sapphire Swayze, who's going a lot better than its figure form line might suggest since its comeback for Brett Bunfield in Victoria, and it's going to win a race of this nature very soon. He's Okie Dokie's in the mix somewhere, but I suspect it's going to start far too short. And number 3 I've thrown in for fourth, It's Just Kenny. 6-5-1-3 in the penultimate.
And the last for three-year-olds, TOT2, 22-40, one early scratching Bonner's number 6.
Yeah, tough way to get out, JT. I'm going with number 7, Yankee Redback. I think we'll get a touch of value. It's a fast front line, but he's the quickest beginner of all the horses drawn off the front row. If he gets the top, I think he'll get a breather once he gets there, and he'll be the horse to beat. Derriere, I'm so pleased for Nick Hooper and Amy Tubbs that she was able to win first up from a break, but she only fell in. She's had a lot of problems. I wouldn't be expecting the world from her. She'll get better as she continues racing. Number 5, Iona Spider's got ability, but has been a heartbreaker as well. And at big odds, Rockin' Shiraz, who was a winner at Melton 2 starts back, might be able to lead or trail in transit here and go relatively close at a price. 7-4-5-1 to finish us off.
Best bet time, Blake?
I'm going to say one that we haven't gone through yet. Riverboat Jasper, race 4, number 11. I think it'll go very close for John and Marie Caldo.
Okay. Both totes?
Yep.
Both totes, yep.
Yeah, I think drawn 11, you have to. My best bet on the program is Maori's favourite son, who's now getting around to its right price, around at $3.80. But I also think Metro Mike will be very hard to beat in the Italian Cup, JT.
Where do we get the form?
Goodform.trot.com.au. And it's been some good weekends. We've won most of our game plans over the last 3 or 4 weekends, so hopefully we can maintain the rage tonight.
Enjoy your weekend, lads.
Thanks, JT.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, lads. That's it for Talking Trots on this Saturday. On behalf of the team, JT saying good morning. Good luck if you're having a try at a Tabcorp Park Melton tonight. Riley Phelan has the latest in the world of sport, followed by the On the Punt team taking a good look at Moonee Valley today.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.